This morning, before I go, it's up here. Before I go, I'm going to use you while I'm getting ready for my message. My buddy Junior, how are you, man? All right. I don't get it. Have you ever said that? Maybe to your boss at work, tell you to do something. I don't get it. I don't understand. I told you I was going to talk about there's a constant battle. Constant battle. Do the dishes. And she gives me this look. It's this look right here. It's the I don't get what you're saying look. I don't understand what you meant by do the dishes. Now, is it because of a lack of trying to help her learn how to do the dishes? No. Is it because she's never touched a single dish in her life? No. But could it be that maybe, just maybe, that it falls on Dad? That it falls on specify. Could it be that? Could it be like what I said with the kids this morning? Sweep the floor. But I didn't tell them, sweep the floor in the sanctuary. Vacuum the floor in the sanctuary. Make sure you get underneath the chairs. Because I could look this morning and I could say that I want you to vacuum the floor in the sanctuary. But what I underneath the chairs, make sure the trash gets picked up in the sanctuary, because if you've ever seen it, sometimes we vacuum the floor but we leave the trash, because I did what you told me to do but you didn't give me specifically everything that I needed to do. I was looking through Facebook and looking through the internet and I saw this picture and I thought it was really which means that you're not alone. And right was an animal that had died. It was a possum. And over the top because the guy so he there's a possum-sized gap that did not get painted. At points, that's when we look and we say, I don't get it. I don't get it. The same thing happens with our kids. We sometimes I could tell a little bit more vocal on what we need to tell them. If you have your Bibles, open your Bibles. We're going to read. I'm pulling a passage And I went to the New King James Version, even though my Bible is NLT. But I pulled it up in the New King James and I posted it on the screen this morning because I want you to read it with me this way. And then we're going to look at it a couple different ways. Read it with me. It says this, train up a child in the way he should go. Now we're going to change that to he or she. Or we could change that to they, to the way they should go. And when he or they is old enough, or old, he will not depart from it. Train up a child in the way he should go. When he is old, he will not depart from it. Let's pray. God, I thank you for your word. I thank you for what you put in my heart. God, I ask God this morning that I would deliver the message the way that you had me write it out, the way that I had it in my heart. And God, that we would hear something and receive something different this morning. In your name we pray. Amen. Now I look at that scripture this morning, and I look at it. Direct the child to right. The message by But here's the question I have for you. Does anybody, when they were a kid, and this happened to me when I was a kid, does anybody remember this scripture being a little bit longer? I remember this scripture being a little bit longer when I was a kid. Because I remember as a kid, it said, train up a child in the ways of the Lord, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Because that's what I in the ways of the Lord. But when I pull, it says, train up a child in the way that he should go. So what we've done is we've changed it, and it may not be as Christians we've changed it, but maybe society has changed it to where it became more of a Christian saying than a all people saying. Because if it says train him up in the way that he should go, like it does here, or if it says train up a child, only Christians have to do that. The rest of the world, just the believers are the ones who have to do it. But the Bible says train up a child in the way that he should go. Which means to me that we should train up a child whether we know it's our job as leaders, as grandparents, as aunts and uncles, as Sunday school teachers, to train up a child in the way they should go. I have several points this morning. One of the points I wrote down before I get to that first point is you have to train them spiritually. We have to train them spiritually. But do you understand that when it says to train up a child, that training up a child does not just mean 0 to 18 years old? Because the last time I checked, a child, a new believer who may be 35 years old, but they're a new believer. So we need to train up the new believer as if they were a child. Because even though they're 35, they're still new to faith. They're still cutting their teeth on what the Bible says. They're still trying to figure out exactly what the difference is between the milk of what the Bible says and what the meat of what the Bible says.
Amen.
And it's our job. To be better Christians. I look at the life of somebody that's in our church. I look at the life of But I looked at the wall. You would think that at 90 years old, he has done pretty much everything he wants to do. You'd think he's done pretty much everything that he could do to help raise somebody up. But do you know that at 90 years old, he still has a job to raise up a next generation? Because if I asked who was 90 or more, who would raise your hand? So there's not a 90. To brother, you're a child to a 90-year-old man, which means his job is to pour into you. His job is to train you up spiritually in the way that you should go. Now, I will tell you, for a 90-year-old guy, he moves around pretty well. For a 90-year-old guy, he comes in here and intercedes when no, like nobody else is interceding. For 90 years old, he comes up here when he's got a need. He comes up here. To me, that's a leader. That's somebody who shows what it means to spiritually lead other people. If you need somebody to show you what it's like to spiritually lead, go see Brother Lowe. He's to the point now where he's going, every day I'm here, I'm just going to keep worshiping God, because it's going to come to a point that he's going to worship God on this side and he's going to go see God on that side. But he's learning that he still has to train people up. He still has to train up a child in the way they should go. If you ever get a chance to sit down and talk to him, just sit and listen sometimes. Because there's sometimes he'll say stuff that's pretty funny. And you gotta laugh at it. But he's got some knowledge. Do you understand something? That this morning, that even if there was a person who was 91 years old, Brother Lowell could still train up a child? Well, how can he do that? Because they may be 91 years old, but they may only have 10 years as a Christian. They may be 91 years old, but he may have more spiritual guidance than what they actually know. And he could still train them up. See, this morning I'm not getting a whole bunch of amens and hallelujahs. But that's okay. J-Bay's saying, I can't even talk. That's a blessing for Dwayne. When we as Christians come in and focus more on ourselves than we do on the other people around us, we start to lose our influence on them spiritually.
That's right.
Have you ever come in and you've ever seen somebody walking in the church who has a church, who doesn't know God, and we come in and we get so caught up in us that when it comes time for the altar service, they feel so far disconnected that they leave before they even get a chance to come to the front. That's because we haven't gotten a chance to train them on what to do. Now, I'm going to tell you, training them on what to do. Because from the outside, they come. Smacking them and saying, that's not right. Because I look around blue jeans, and I see dresses, and I see hoodies on, and I see nice shirts, and I see I have a jacket on this morning, and I see nurse scrubs. I see cartoon characters and just characters. But I see a whole I think the best thing for me that's, this is kind of hard, but the best thing for me is to be able to come and just show up and wear comfortable clothes to be able to preach. I don't have to wear this jacket. I wear. But I don't. They won yesterday. So it's better to wear it when they win, the day after they win, than the day when they lose. But I don't have. But we've got
come on.
A couple of months ago, we had, and they came and they ministered. And Brother Kelly and Sister Kelly, and they left here. And all of a sudden, we had people start saying, man, they were awesome. Man, we need to have them back again. What you saw and what I saw was two different things. You saw a family, a group that came and they ministered and they left and went back on the road again. What I saw was spiritual family. Spiritual parents. People that I had put in my life words of encouragement. Allow them to speak into me when it's time for me to know that I need to get my butt kicked and they need to correct me. People that I allow to pray for me. People that I call. But if they don't know what I'm dealing with, I have to have a relationship with them. I have to show them and be open to them. So just because you have somebody that's leading you doesn't mean that they're doing their job properly. Because they may not be doing their job properly because you haven't given them all the tools that they need in order to be spiritual parents to you. A spiritual leader can only lead one. So of a lot. And Elisha. Elijah showed what would have happened if Elisha would have said, I'm going to show it to me for the distance. Elisha wouldn't have been called the double portion. He wouldn't have got double. But he got so it goes. But you can't train if they don't to be trained.
Right.
To train them. And somebody can't train you if you don't allow them to do the training.
Right.
That's why when we look at our kids and we say, sweep the floor. And they look at you with that, I don't know what you're talking about. I'm so confused. I don't get it. Sometimes we have to remember, that we have to be the ones that is allowing them to be trained. We have to know that we have to be trained ourselves, but they have to be able to be ready to receive it. Brother Kelly, if I was to call something, if I needed prayer, if I is that Brother Kelly would look at me and tell me if I was wrong. And I would take that correction because I have a lot. Don't try to correct somebody that you don't have a relationship with. Because you know how easy it is for you to try to correct somebody that you don't have a relationship with? It's pretty easy. But the problem is it's not going to work. Because that person's not going to receive the correction. Instead, you're going to hit a wall with them. And you're going to lose any type of gained ground that you may have already had because you tried to correct somebody that you didn't have permission to correct. You didn't have that relationship with them. I'm going to say this. If you look at this training, spiritual training, if you look at that as a job, it's going to be hard and you're going to want to quit. If you look at it as a blessing, if you look at it as a blessing that you get to impart something to somebody else, then it's going to be rewarding. You see, this point right now, it can be hard, it can be taxing, but it can also be the most rewarding thing you've ever had to deal with. It could be easy, but it could be difficult. It could be hard, but could also turn out to be the best thing you've ever done. The second one is this. We have to train them personally. It's something to train them spiritually. The next one is we have to train them personally. My media guy's asleep in the back. Morning, Jeremiah. Robert, it's good to see you. I'm on personally now. Thank you. We have to train them. It's easy to tell them you're praying for them. It's easy to tell them. It's something to train them spiritually, but it's something else to train them personal. Brother Furman's not here this morning. He's in New York. But when he goes on missions trips, you know what he does on his missions trips? He works. He works hard. He shows. Jabbed her. We love it. She'd have a really long day. But if she shows them what to do, we've all heard that old saying. You can give a man a fish and feed him for a day. Or you can teach him how to fish and feed him for a lifetime. Why does that work? Because we train them on how to do what they're doing. I was talking about Furman. Trade so that when they're old enough to go on their own, they are. In fact, if you look, if you ever get a chance to go to Jamesport, go take your car. Dad's going to work in his big old. And about 15 minutes after Dad goes. That little pony. How does he know how to do that? Because Dad's trained him how to. The Amish community to me is incredible. But do you understand that if they stopped training their kids today to do the trades that they know how to do, they would cease to exist? They would not exist anymore. Because they all... Dad's not being around anymore. The food. We have gotten to the point so much in our society that we've stopped. But it works the same way. We've got. I tell the students all the time, I can't worship for you. I can't show God that you've been worshiping because I just go. He wants to hear your words coming out. But we've gotten to the point where we've become so dependent that now we stay right here in our own little box. Furman was showing me a couple last year. He showed me how to go and how to fish trout lines. I've always wanted to trout line fish, never been able to do it. Furman takes me out to the river, puts me in the boat. The first couple times, I was terrible. I didn't know what I was doing. I didn't know how to tie everything together. Like, this is what you're doing, and he does it and goes. About halfway through, I looked at him and I said, Furman, I said, show me what you're doing. Show me how to do it. So he shows me how to do it. This last spring, me and Furman and his brother went out to the river. I haven't done this for a year. I've gone one time. I haven't gone since. Haven't gone for a year. And I started picking it up and putting it all together and doing what I needed to do. I knew how many hooks we needed on the line. I knew how many we could put on the bucket to keep us safe without getting hooked through our finger. I knew what we needed to do with what size of weights to put on. I had everything set up and ready to go. And Furman looks at me and he goes, man, you act like you've been doing this for years. And I said, it's because I got shown how to do it. If you get shown how to do it, but sometimes we get to a point. My daughter gets to that place where she's stubborn. She gets to the place where I tell her to do the dishes and I've shown her how to do the dishes. And I've shown her how to walk. It does the work for you. Just put on. But I'm showing. Why is that? Because we get to the point where we become stubborn. I don't want to do it. We turn from. You know, that's the point where I just want to take and just a little pop. Where I just want to take the cell phone. My mom, when she was a kid, my grandma, she would tell her she had to go in and wash the dishes. And she washed the dishes. And she'd dry them and she'd put them in the cabinet. And my grandma would go behind her and she said if every single dish was put away and all cleaned up, my grandma would go in there and she would open up the cabinet and pull out a plate. And if it still had stuff on it, she took all the plates, all the dishes, all the cups, all the everything out of the entire pantry, and you washed every single one of them. Whether you used that one last night or not, it was still done. Because if that one was wrong, but what did she do? She trained her how to do it properly. The Bible says that we should train up a child. Train up a child. personally show them how to do something. 10 years ago, no, I'm not talking about my son. 10 years ago, I went deer hunting for the first time. Me and my uncle, we go out, we go deer hunting, take the entire week, I have a whole week on vacation, I take the entire week and go deer hunting. Never been deer hunting before. We go out, we're shooting our bow, we're practicing, make sure we're right. We get ready the next day, we go out. He puts me in the blind. He leaves. He tells me, this is what you do. We have radios in case I have a problem. He shows me all the stuff. We wait. We finally get a deer. And the first thing he does is say, okay, let's go. And I say, what's let's go? He goes, now we got to take care of the deer. So we have to field dress this deer. I have never field dressed a deer before in my life. I have no clue what I'm doing. Instead of him walking up and just saying, here, let me do it, and starts doing it, he took the 10 minutes that it takes to field dress the deer and took an extra 15 minutes just to show me what we had to do. How do you do it? What's the best way? Make sure you do this and make sure you do that. Don't leave this and make sure this happens and be careful what you're cutting here. You don't want to go too far because you're going to cut this. He just, all of to him, he's done it so many times. But for me, it was new. I had no clue what I was doing. It may be disgusting, but it happens. But go back to last weekend. Last weekend, last Saturday, I got in the car early. It was cold, 20 degrees outside. You could see my breath as I was breathing. And I took my daughter deer hunting for the first time where she was actually going to be able to shoot. She's gone before, she'd seen me shoot, but this is her first time shooting. She gets a deer 2 hours into our sit, she gets a deer. So then we have to get to the best part of the deer season. You got to field dress the deer. So we go to field dress the deer, and I just start cutting things and doing what I need to do and telling her this is what I'm doing. Would I have been able to do that 10 years ago if somebody didn't show me what to do? No. It reminds me of this story, this lady. She was making a ham for her husband and their family. And she took the ham and she got ready to put it in the pan. She's got it on the cutting board and she cuts the ends off of the ham. She cuts the ends off the ham and her husband looks at me and she goes, what are you doing? He goes, that's the best part of the ham. No. I don't know. Well, honey, why did you cut the end off of the ham? Because that's what you... She says the only... Sometimes we train them and we don't tell them. And then when... But if you'd have done it the way that I was trying to help you do it, you wouldn't have messed up. Her pan was probably plenty big enough for the... What am I trying to say? We can personally show them how to do it by being involved in their life. I'm going to tell you, my family says this all the time. It doesn't take just one person to raise a family. It takes an army to raise a family, especially if you live with Becky. It takes an entire army just to help. But what would happen if Evelyn didn't come up along Becky and say, is there anything I can help you with today? I know you got a lot going on. Is there something I can do? Or what would happen if I didn't have Rick and Mary? Rick and Mary have been amazing to help us with our kids. They go down to Rick and Mary's, and I don't even know their name. I get a text message from Mary. You know Eli down here? No. But you can train them up. You can train them. It takes an entire army to do it. The next one is this. My guy awake? He's awake. He's yawning, but he's awake. The next one is train them to be leaders. You know, it's okay. And it's okay to... Been talking to our youth leaders. And one of the things we were saying, we were trying to figure out how can we get the teenagers to learn to become leaders. And the answer is, we can't just kick them in the butt. We have to show them how to be leaders by being examples in leadership. You see, I'm going to tell you something. If we're not training them up, we won't have somebody be able to come behind us. Pastor told me, he said, you need to find somebody you can train up and let them replace you. Find somebody to replace your job. Take your job. And what would happen if you found somebody to take your job doing the Bible, the prayer on Monday nights? What would happen? I'm going to tell you what. She won't. She'll still be here. You know why? Because just because she showed them how to do it and she trained them how to do it and she brought up a leader doesn't mean that she's out of leadership anymore. It doesn't mean that she's not sufficient enough anymore. In fact, what Pastor told me was this. You need to train somebody up to take your spot, but don't... Because you're always... You're always... See, you're not obsolete. You're just another step ahead of them. I don't plan on leaving anytime soon. But I've taken that to heart from Pastor. I've taken that to heart. And I started training somebody to do my job. I'm not going to tell you who it is, but I've been training people to take my job. Because if I can train them to take my job, what happens if I can't make it 1 week? I'll give you a prime example of that. One of my mentors, his name is Jerry Tipton. I haven't talked to Jerry in a couple of weeks, maybe a couple months. But when I do talk to him, he still pours into me. He still gives me advice. But Jerry has this awesome idea of how to train up people and train up leaders. And it's all this, one thing. Just do life with me. Just do life with me. If you do... If you don't ever want to do it again. So I said, okay. I just got out of youth ministry at one church, and I started at this church. And he said, I know you called to ministry. I know you're called to do it. He goes, just do life with me. I'm not going to put you in a key leadership position right away. Just do life. I said, okay. So we go in and we go do life. Do life means show up and help. The same lock-in that I... They had to be back at work in the afternoon. offense was there the whole time. But that's because I was doing life with somebody who was ready to show me what it was like to lead. The same do life with me that says, hey, we're playing basketball. We're not going to be very good, but we want you to play. So that he can show me what it's like to lead on a different field. What it's like to lead in a different realm than just being a leader inside the church. The same life that he looks at me and he says, hey, we need somebody to come and cut the grass. Would you be interested in cutting the grass once a month? Yeah, sure, not a problem. And he brings me out and he shows me how to run the thing. And by the end of the time, you pretty much look at me and he goes, hey, man, can you do this one too? By the end of the time, I was pretty much cutting all the grass at the church. And it wasn't just this little patch that we have back here. We had a humongous lot. I mean, there was a lot of ground to cover and a lot of grass to cut. And by the end of the time, it was just like, hey, I got it. I got it. I'm good. We're good. We got it. We're good. But how did all that work? It's because he had life with him. It's because he was willing to pour in what he knew so that way he could move me to something else. The person, people that I'm pouring into right now, the next step. I'm seeing the potential that they have, and I say, okay, here's the next step for you to get where you want to go. I've already been there. I'm at that point. I'm past where you are. We have to train them personally. We have to train them spiritually. We have to train them as leaders. And the last one is this. Train them in service. What does train them in service mean? It's actually twofold. Number one, train them in service means this. Train them how to serve. Train them how to serve. I had a couple of interns for the first year that I was here. We've already been here over a year. Can you believe it already? For the first year, I had these interns' main job. Stack chairs, unstack chairs, put up tables, pull down tables, stack more chairs, vacuum the floor. But you know what happens now? I don't have to worry about is the youth building done in the morning, ready for Sunday school. I don't have to worry. The night, because when I get here, it's already taken care of. I don't have to worry about did we get all the trash picked up in the youth room. Has the trash been taken out? Because they just grab it and do it. We start to train them in service to be a service or to help or to volunteer within the church to be better leaders, to be better people, to be better spiritually. All of these things fall together. But here's the last one. That's the last point, but this is the part. It's twofold. We have to train them in the service. We have to be leaders ourselves in the service. We can't just sit back and wait for them to get it. Because if we continue to sit back and wait for them to get it, we're going to have a bunch of people sitting around doing nothing. I asked you this morning when the kids were still going to sit in here, I said, show them what it's like to worship. Show them what it's like to go. I'm going to tell you, within youth ministry, and I love every one of them, but there's a bunch of kids in youth ministry that don't know how to worship. And they don't know how to worship because there's nobody showing them how to do it. There's nobody showing them on Sunday mornings how to worship. There's nobody showing them how to worship. What to do when it comes time to worship. If you ask them to pray, they are like, it's like turning the light on and they're seeing all the bugs run around. You ask them to pray and everyone's like, not me, not me, not me, not me. What's funny is that not me turns into you're it. I pretty much do that on a weekly basis with Rachel. But guess what? I have to lead them in the service. I have to show them what the my wife keeps telling me all the time. My biggest thing is I don't want to be as a pastor, I probably need to get up. But if you my wife, pray for me, and I just put my hand on her. Myself. What happens if we pray out loud? We show the people that are watching us how to do it. We show the people who are watching us what to do. If we show them that it's okay for them to just get up and run around during service, that's what they're going to do. If we show them that it's okay just to goof off during service, that's what they're going to do. If we bring our Bible with us, we hope. If we show them what to do, they'll do it. Yeah. So this morning, my message is really easy. I'm going to read one more scripture. It's in Genesis 1:28. And it says, "Then God blessed them and said, 'Be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and govern it.'" Here's the thing I want you to see. That scripture is talking about Adam and Eve being fruitful and multiplying. Recreating who they already are. Recreating another human being. But what happens when they recreate and multiply? They multiply themselves. They recreate themselves. How awesome would it be for us to recreate ourselves and somebody else? Another person who has a heart for missions. What would happen if Becky put herself into somebody else who had a heart for missions? We wouldn't just have one person that had a big giant heart for missions and wants to go to every mission trip she can find. We'd wind up having two or three or four or five people that were ready to go at just that moment. We're going, okay, I'm ready. If I told Becky that in 2 months we're going to China, she's already packed and ready to go. But it would be awesome to have somebody that Becky is poured into, and she says, "Hey, we're going to China," and all of a sudden, I say it to Becky, and in 5 minutes, I got five people coming up and going, "We're ready to go. Let's go." We have the heart that Becky has for missions. We have that same heart. What would happen if we had the heart for the prayer ministry on Monday night? And instead of just one or two or five people showing up, we had a church full of people that were here worshiping and praying just because we had that heart, because we put that into them. Or a house to do children's ministry. Or youth ministry. Or teach us something. I'm going to tell you, it's real slim pickings around here to find somebody to lead a Sunday school class. It's difficult. And I'm going to tell you, when the person that leads the Sunday school class doesn't show up, it's real hard to find somebody else. I can take that. Don't worry, I got it. Because we haven't trained somebody else up into that position. I'm not bragging on myself. But I will say this. If I was not here Wednesday night. And my wife was not here Wednesday night. In about 5 minutes, I could have a speaker and I could have a worship team. In about 5 minutes. And I'm going to tell you one thing that I know just by talking to the leaders. It's not going to be mass chaos because I'm not here. It's not going to be completely different look of a service because I'm not here. Because what are they going to do? They're going to go do what they've been trained to do because somebody has taken the time to train them. I go back to this. Train up a child in the way he should go. And when he is old, he will not depart from it. What does that mean? It means if you train them now, when they get older, they'll go back to that same thing. Older could be older physically, age-wise. Older could be spiritually. They could become older spiritually. That's fine too. But our job is to train them up. Our job is to train up somebody next to us. Train up somebody that is ready to take that spot. I'm going to tell you this morning, sometimes we give that look. I just don't get it. I just don't understand. But a lot of times we get that face because we don't have anybody training us how to do it. We don't have anybody showing us what to do. This has not been the amen, hallelujah, preach it, brother, screaming, jumping up and down service. And I get it. I understand. But I spoke the way that God had me speak it. I pray this morning that it's challenged you just enough to say, who am I leading? Who am I showing how to take my spot? Because I'll tell you, I had to look at that. My wife had to look at it. Who are we showing to take our place? I got one person who looks at me and he goes, how do you do this? How do you become this? How do you do that? And he's always asking me questions. And I've given him some hard answers sometimes. I looked at one of our teenagers and he said, I feel like God's called me to preach. I'm supposed to be a pastor. Okay, how do you be a pastor? Well, that's a good question. You have to do certain things. So I gave him something to do. I said, if you're going to be a pastor, one of the things you're going to do is preach. I said, so what does that mean? I said, go home and write a sermon and bring it back to me. You know, he told me he's wrote 18 sermons and threw every one of them in the trash. Because he didn't feel like it was good enough. And you know what I told him? That was 18 chances for me to help you make that better. But you know what happened? Instead of it being something where it's a teaching moment for me to help him, he took it upon himself to say, I could fix this myself. And wound up throwing it in the trash. When we are able to train somebody, we're able to train them because they're willing to be trained. I highly suspect that after this message that this person will come up to me and say something. And I highly suspect that next week I'll probably have a sermon ready to go over and try to help him make it better. Because now I've kind of pushed this person a little bit. Everybody's looking at him. They all know who it is. All my leaders know who it is. But get this. There's two things. You can't lead if you're not able to be trained yourself. And the second one is this. If you're not willing to be led, you'll never be able to lead somebody else, and you'll never be able to have anybody follow you. You have to be able to be led. That's why the Bible shows so clearly that you should train up a child in the way they should go. A child is anybody who's smaller than you, younger than you, not as spiritually old as you are. Train up the next generation. Train up the next person. I'm going to ask this morning if you would bow your heads with me. As we close this morning, I'm just going to ask you a simple question. The simple question goes like this, very easy. God, show me how to be a leader. Is that you? God, just show me how to be a leader. Would you raise your hand and be honest this morning? God, I need you to show me how to be a leader. And then the last one is this. God, show me how to be a follower. Show me how to allow people to pour into me. If that's you, would you raise your hand? Hands all over for both. This morning I'm going to pray. God, I thank you for this day. I thank you for this moment. God, I ask this morning that as we leave this place, God, that you would show us how to be leaders. God, that you would show us how to train up somebody else. God, a child. Child doesn't mean they have to be 10 years old. Could just mean that they're younger than us. They don't have the experience that we have. God, I pray, God, that you would show us how to train up a child and the way they should go. God, and I ask, God, that you would show us how to follow. Because sometimes it's difficult for us to follow. We know what they're going to say. God, show us how to follow. God, we thank you for this day, and I ask, God, that we would take this to heart. We would get something new from you every day, and we would surround ourselves with people that we can train and people we can follow. In your name we pray, and everybody said, amen.